Hello, everyone. Who are your favorite bears in the whole world? Of course, it's Scott and I. But I'll tell you, we're about to be even more fun because we're going to get a little naughty here with our next guest. I love that you go by a Lil Cub. This is what they say you say. Lil Cub hip hopper Bryce Quartz, who has a really good new song called Come Pirate. And we don't shy away from the sex positivity. So we thought, well, listen, we should probably have him on our show and have a little tongue-in-cheek, if you will, with the rapper himself. So, Bryce, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Is it just bears for the best of me? Said bears on my fantasy. Said bears into what I like. We do it all night, all right. Bears that don't discriminate. I take a call the job to circumnavigate. Steal my heart to let it percolate. All night, all right. Bears got the best of me. Said bears on my fantasy. Said bears into what I like. We do it all night, all right. I love it.
I also love that you're representing the bears with the flag behind you. I love this.
It's always there when anyone sleeps with me.
I love it.
We were so excited and scared when we got your single and everything. It's like, this is going to be fun, and I'm scared to death. I don't know what to expect here. This is going to be very interesting, but he's a damn cute boy there, and us bears of an age like a damn cute bear, cub. So welcome aboard, my friend. It's good to see you.
Y'all are cute, too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, see, he can come back anytime. That's all. What we like to hear. I've been trying to convince Bryce before we started recording today that he needs to go to Palm Springs just to be there because you haven't been there yet. And I'm telling you, it's made for you. You would love it, and you probably be very busy, so don't schedule any shows. Just so you know.
There you go. Palm Springs is the way to go. I think you could perform. You could have fun. I think you would have an amazing time there.
I want to go to the pool parties.
Oh, there's so many. And always at the clothing optional resorts. Those are the best ones. Let's get right into, so we had said at the top that there's this new single out called Come Pirate. And first, before we get into how it all began, I need to know more about this song. So tell our listeners more.
Yeah, so Come Pirate is the latest single I just put out. And basically, when I go into writing new songs, like for this like sexy era that I'm in, I kind of go into it of like, how can I embarrass the gay community the most? Like, how can I like say the craziest shit that just really makes straight people scared? And actually, I didn't even come up with the title until after I wrote the hook. Like, I just was like, how many times can I say come in the hook? I think I say it like 9 or 10 times. I don't know.
Right.
But I wrote the hook, and then my friend who was like watching me write it, because I was writing the song on Growler Live, which is where I used to write all my songs. And he was like, you kind of sound like a pirate. Like, I don't know, your flow kind of is giving like pirate sea shanty vibes. And I was like, okay. So then I ran with it, and that's why the first line is, you can call me a cum pirate, I'm on a cum diet. So but really, it's just a fun song about cum. But every time I perform it live, I always mention it, because I used to think like, oh, this would be fun drinking game, like I drink every time I say cum. But like, I think if people actually did that, they'd be in the hospital, because I say it 30 I say it 37 times in the song. No. So it probably wouldn't be smart. So,
and when is it not really fun to be saying cum and having a drinking
right?
game?
Right?
Exactly.
There you go. If not, you'll find it at Spencer's gift store near you next week.
I exactly.
Oh, Spencer's.
A great idea.
They sell my CD. I'm just kidding. I wish.
They should. Well, I find this fascinating. So we're gonna rewind a bit. I know in your past you started out with more political type music, and then have transitioned into what you say as your sexy era. Why the transition? Why the evolution?
Well, okay, so the first three, I put out 3 mixtapes before I started rapping about sex. So I put out like maybe like 40 or 50 songs. And honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really know much about songwriting. I kind of just jumped into making music and just like, oh, I just want to do it. You know, I was kind of tired of all my friends being like, I'm going to do something, and then they never do it. And that could be for anything, like starting a podcast or you know, making YouTube videos. But I was just kind of tired of, like, all the talk and no action. So I was just like, let me just spend my tax refund this year on a studio. And I bought, like, all this equipment, and I started rapping. And, like, my whole first mixtapes, it's a trilogy. It was a trilogy, American Queer Volume 1, 2, and 3. And the first one was, like, just about my family, coming out stuff. But like I said, I wasn't great at writing or rapping or projecting my voice. So then the second mixtape is where it kind of got more political. And that's when I made, like, an anti-Trump song that got me a lot of death threats. And I actually want to point out, because I haven't been able to say this in an interview yet, I had a Make America Gay Again hat, but it's not smart because I did it in the same font with a red hat. And I didn't know that, like, so and honestly, it was like a white privilege moment for me, because I asked one of my black friends to feature on it. I was like, do you want to feature on the remix? He's like, to be honest, I want nothing to do with, like, this imagery alone. Is it really, it still is connected to it, and I don't like
people
that.
People can't read, Bryce. People can't read. They just see that. I mean, he's,
yeah,
he's coined the symbol of the red hat with the white writing, with the blazer and the red tie. You got to be really careful in the symbolism in politics anymore. Unfortunately, the one thing these guys are good at is branding. So yeah,
makes sense. And so looking back, you know, I'm kind of ashamed of that, because if you look up my name on Google, like, you'll find pictures of it, and I don't want people to think that I'm, like, a Republican at all. So
right,
but there was that. And then I made a song called, like, FU Falwell University, which is, like, a song where I diss Liberty University. And I for the music video for that, I filmed on their campus and burned my student ID on the founder's grave, Jerry Falwell Sr., who blamed 9/11 on the gays and feminists. So then I got banned from that, from all their properties. And I kept that music video up because I do think that is, like, a good protest type of thing, but I still don't like my songwriting. And then the third mixtape is when I met Karsten, Big Daddy Karsten, who's, like, my mentor in Norway, and he was honestly a dickhead to me the first year we were friends, because he, in good faith, it was all like, you need to improve and here are some tips. And so I started improving a lot and changing my songwriting. I stopped rapping about certain things that I didn't realize how much, as an artist, your power has meaning, and people will believe everything you say. And even though I owned a Glock, I didn't need to be rapping about it, because then I'm inviting violence into my life. And I think at the time I was like, I'm going to be the faggot that, like, if you fuck with me, I'll fuck with you back, you know? But
yeah,
I really don't want to do all that, so I had to stop talking about that. So, but I honestly never really rapped about sex the first three mixtapes, because it just, I didn't want to be that gay rapper. I didn't want to be like, oh, let me just do this and, like, sex sells, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote one song, as Karsten was telling me to practice and write remixes, I wrote one song where the first song I ever wrote about sex, of course it goes viral. And on TikTok, and, like, now, you know, that kind of created the foundation of, like, where I am now, and gave me a lot of self-confidence, and, like, has really pushed me to be more professional about things, which is why, since that song went viral, it took me, like, 2 years to even drop Cum Pirate, because I moved to New York in that time. I made a lot of new friends and connections. I performed in Norway a few times, did a bunch of features, but, you know, it kind of paved the way for me to be, you know, more sexual and honest about my sex life, and, you know, even push those boundaries of my own sex life, and, like, dude, just have fun. Like, I really think, like, writing that song that went viral was Good Morning BQ. It was just for fun. Like, I just was having fun. I wrote it in 30 minutes and bam, it went viral. So I learned a lot in that. Like, it just was just have fun and stop overthinking. And that's kind of where Cum Pirate and Sodomite and, like, the whole EP, the sex tape, comes from. I was just kind of having fun and just like, how can I make the gay community just embarrassed? I don't know. A lot of gay people, a lot of gay men think it's really hot and sexy.
Yeah.
And then a lot of gay men find it cringy. But then straight people find it fascinating because they either hate it and hate me, or they're like, damn, he's really rapping and I don't even care what he's rapping about. It's just, they're like, I've never heard that said before. So I don't know, I just think it's fun.
You've made a good point in some things I've read where you talk about, we're out there, we're making WAP, like, this big hit, so we're having, you know, Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B. why the hell can't we have our own? Why can't, because as you've also stated, we've had to put up with heterosexuals out there sending their vibes, watching movies with, you know, sex scenes with them. I'm sorry, the pendulum eventually has to swing all the way the other way. So there is no shame in that. And it's a double standard for people who say that there is.
Yeah. I also wanted to add to that, that like, even in the gay community, there's a lot of gay rappers. There's a lot of, I have a lot of friends who rap about sex, and a lot of them are amazing people. They're great artists, but not many people mention bears or daddies or pups or like chubby guys. And like, I really just kind of wanted to bring that into it too, because there's not enough representation there either. And I'm not I don't think Cum Pirate's like mainstream goals. Like I just, like, I do think it's like underground mainstream goals in a way. Like I want the bear community to be like, oh damn, he really did that. Whether they like rap music or they don't, at least there is something there. It's just fun.
Well, you have this great kind of unabashed feeling going out there. Was it always that way? Talk about your coming out journey, but let's go back a little farther. When did you kind of come out to yourself, and how was that? What did you come out in the same kind of, I call it aggressive, but it's more just like being sure of yourself. But talk about how you came out to yourself and to others.
This is a long story. I'll try to talk really fast. Because I came out 3 times, which is why there was 3 mixtapes called American Queer. I thought it was funny. That's why the third one's called Third Time's a Charm, because that was the last time that I had to come out. But the first time I came out, I came out to my sister, and because she had gay friends, she's like, I still love you, but maybe you should wait just a few more months before you tell mom and dad. And this was like my freshman year of high school. And so I waited a few months. I came back to her and was like, I'm definitely gay. Like, this is what it is. And like, I didn't really, mind you, let me rewind. Before I even told my sister that summer before freshman year of high school, I realized that, okay, I'm gay. We got to get over it. Like, I always knew I was gay for like years, like probably since like 4th or 5th grade. So, but it wasn't until then that I was like, yeah, like it is what it is. And I discovered what bears were. We won't tell you how, but we discovered what P-Town Bear Week is.
And, nice.
And so, yeah, I told my sister, you know, I came back to her 6 minutes later. I'm still gay. And this was around Christmas. I came out to my mom and dad 2 days after Christmas, and it was really bad, and they didn't like it, and they were scared. And in their defense, like, you know, And I'm not saying what anything that they did is right. I do know that my mom and dad love me. They just don't know how to show it. And that's kind of where it was at this time. So I wanted to preface with that, because I don't think they deserve like a hard beating in the head for this. But yeah, they, you know, my mom like couldn't even look me in the eyes for like 3 days. Like, we went to like a Pizza Hut and she had to walk out because she was crying. And like, so, you know, I'll go back to school in January or something, and then they want to start taking me to family counseling, which is a big word for basically conversion therapy. And they argue with me on this, but it was conversion therapy, because how is it that this therapist is saying I've had successful cases of people going from being gay to not necessarily not being gay, but like having sexual attraction to women? The way he worded it is a very confusing way to make it sound like it's not conversion therapy, but I knew what it was. So I lied to them and was like, oh, it worked. You prayed it away. That's crazy. So, and for some reason they believed it. So we went with that for like 2 more years. And then the second time I came out, I was on a date with this guy. I was 16. He was 19. And I was at a Panera Bread down the street from my mom's job, which was a dumb idea. So my mom walks in and takes a picture of me without me even knowing, like zooms in and was like, that's not how friends hold hands. Like, that's not what friends do. And so then it turned into a whole fiasco. And, you know, like, I was very much like, I'm gay, get over it. Like, this, it is what it is. But then, like, you know, they took my phone, they unplugged the internet at home, they unplugged the phone line at home, like everything, just everything, no connection, no, can't do anything, can't go anywhere but church. So, you know, it's like summertime, there's no school, there's nowhere, there's really no safe place for me. So I go to church camp that summer, and if, you know, as a Southern Baptist, you might know how it is, they use the music to manipulate you. They create this like environment that makes, it builds a lot of pressure. and they say that it's Jesus moving you, but really it's just like anxiety and pressure. And I felt the Spirit move me, and I'm like, I'm gonna be straight. So that lasted 2 months, and my parents were like so supportive of this, like, oh my God, you're finally straight and you're not gonna be gay. We love it. And I actually believed in myself for a minute, you know, like, oh, this is, I'm going to be a Christian. So I come back my junior year of high school. I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm straight. I know I came out my third day of high school, but I'm straight now, and I'm starting a Bible club, and we're going to like study God in the Bible. I'll do a Bible study. So, but that, you know, lasted like a few months. And then I was like, yeah, I'm gay again. Like, this is, so we, but at the same time, I was like, I can't live at home anymore. Like, this is, I can't even go through senior year, or I'm going to try to kill myself again. And I already had like 2 attempts by then. So I was like hospitalized for it. So then I convinced my family, hey, I have enough credit. I went to an early college, so I took college courses instead of like elective credits. So I had a bunch of college credits and like high school credits, enough to graduate a year early. So I was like, hey, I need to grad. I told my parents this, right? I told my parents, I want to graduate a year early because I don't think I'm going to be a Christian if I stay here another year. And meanwhile, I'm like, I can't stand y'all another year. So, yes. But like they, the only school I pitched it first, I pitched Liberty first. Cause they were like, you know, you need to go somewhere that we can trust. You're going to be barely 17 at college, like, so basically I applied there, and they wouldn't even let me apply anywhere else, you know. So I got accepted because they accept 99% of their people at Liberty, and we went there. I moved into Liberty like when I was 17 and dropped out a year later because fuck that. But then I came out when I was at Liberty the third and final time, because I made them believe I was straight until spring break when I was at Liberty. And I came home and I was like, I'm gay, get the fuck over it. Like, I'm going, I'm leaving. And whether you like it or not, blah, 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 I don't care. And, you know, they were like hurt or whatever, but like, it's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Like, this isn't your future, but, you know, say what you need to say, whatever. And then a bunch of shit went down, and like my car broke down because I'm an idiot and I was driving in overdrive for a year and a half. I don't know. So my transmission just like goes out. And then, I don't know. I don't remember the exact details, but they cut my phone off again. So I ended up like moving in with this guy in Indiana. I dropped out, and I moved across a few states. And anyways, that, we're not going into the whole moving around the country thing. That's another long story. But that was the third and final time, though. I'm like, fuck you. It is what it is. And since then, I have gotten into several arguments with them where I'm just like, get the fuck over it. Because at this point, like, they don't even care that I'm gay now, by the way. They care more that I don't talk to them, which is a whole other thing we're also not going into. But
right.
It's – I mean, I've gotten into so many arguments where I just made him cry because I'm just like, fuck y'all. Like, I don't care. Like, my dad can't even talk about HIV to me, and I'm sitting here trying to educate him on it. He grew up in the 80s, so he really thinks it's still a death sentence. I'm sitting here trying to explain it's not, and he can't even finish the conversation because he's crying, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Right. So,
yeah, I don't really care what they think, and hopefully they don't listen to my music. I actually talked to my grandma. I talked to my grandma on my way to my music video premiere, and I was like, she just checking in on me. I was just like, hey, this is what's going on. I've been really busy. I went to LA and San Francisco. By the way, don't look up my name, and don't tell the family. Don't tell anyone that I'm doing this. Like, don't look up my name, please. I love you.
And you know, that's the first thing.
Wait for someone to go look for you when you say that, right? Exactly. We all know that now.
Wow. I love that. And I have to say, so first of all, quick side note. So as we know, we shared the Southern Baptist hell growing up. And my dad told me, because he was so mad, he told me that he had faith that God would actually make me throw up the first time I had sex with a man. So the first time I did, I just wanted to call my dad because I'm like, I did it. It's real. But how do you go from, which I think is amazing, how do you go from that to, I love quotes, so I like to read what people have said, and I love it. How do you go from, that's a rough time, to, I want to make sure everyone knows I'm a rapper first and a faggot second. How do you get to the boldness that sentence has in it from where you came from?
Well, I've been through too much, and I think a part of why I think I was put on this earth is to help people. And for a long time before I started making music, I was doing in-home care with like disabled adults and with elderly people. And that's a really hard job. Please don't, I don't want to go back to that because it drained me a lot. But I love those. I loved all my clients, like even if they were pains in the ass. And I think like making music is not only does it help me and it gives me a purpose, but the amount of people who have reached out to me telling me I inspired them to just be more comfortable in their bodies or to create art even like or to rap about sex even. That is something that I think is worth it. And like the more that I build the platform up, whether it's about sex now or anything else later, like it gives me a broader platform to help people. And, you know, like I write for Bear World magazine and I put a lot of artists on there, and that's really why I do it. I really just want to like bring awareness to the bear community of how many talented people are in our community. And that's like a huge thing for me, and especially when I did my Growler Live show that I had two seasons of. I had a lot of different guests on there that I just wanted people on Growler to see. Look at all these talented artists and people of color and like musicians and comedians and like that. So like I've tried to use my platform mainly to like help other people. And, you know, just because I'm dropping Cum Pirate and it's about me getting covered in cum right now doesn't mean that like I still am doing things behind the scenes to help people. But at the same time, the reason I said that quote is because a lot of people like to label gay rappers. They rap about sex. Oh, you're a gay rapper. And it's like, but I'm a rapper that's gay. And just because I'm rapping about sex, like, I don't like that label. I know it's counterproductive. And like, you have JoJo Siwa right now even saying gay pop. And like, right. It's like, it's pop music and you're gay. Like, and I don't see why we have to label it and further sequester ourselves away from the mainstream audience, because like, it's great that we have the label, sure, but it's also like, I in a way, I just think it's counterproductive. And I think it's annoying that people, it's almost like demoralizing you or taking you from like, oh, you're not a rapper, you're a gay rapper. Like, I don't like that. And I think it's fucked up. And so that's why I said that statement, because yes, I'm a faggot. Yes, I rap about sex. But like, anyways, I just wanted to clarify that, because it's definitely, it's more about like, I rap. It's not just about being gay. I mean, a lot of it is, but the gay experience, but I just don't like that separation.
Yeah. Well, music evolves, right? Our own tastes evolve. And as we grow, we kind of have different things going on in our lives. So if we're living a great sex positive life, it's great to kind of bring that into our music. And then when you find the right guy, it might be kind of, it'll bring some love into the, you just really have to talk about your own experience. That's all you can share, right?
Yeah. There's, you can say a lot in a rap song too. So it's hard to even pick one topic.
Right. And also, I mean, an artist's whole existence is filtering their experiences through their art. So I think it drives me crazy that people think you're either really hypersex, or that means you have to be really straight laced and doing all the right things. Or why can't you be all of it? Because all of us in the real world are. It's just we're told we have to play by these rules. So you're being an artist and authentically just sharing whatever, you know what I mean? And just because, you know, we go be covered by cum on a weekend doesn't mean we're not people making difference, you know, out after. Yeah. So I love that. You have to live your truth. That's the only way.
Tell me, Bryce, about the first time you had a connection with a fan. When did someone kind of first recognize your music and you got that feedback? And what was that moment like when you found, I'm sure you were making music just for yourself to start with, but then all of a sudden you're sharing it, people are recognizing it, and now you're getting this recognition for it. What was that moment like, and how did that make you feel?
Well, you know, like all the music before the Good Morning BQ, the viral one, I don't look down on it. I'm proud of those moments because it made me a better artist and it helped me grow. But Good Morning BQ was probably like the viral moment I had, was the moment where I really saw the potential in all of this, where I'm like, oh my God, people like it. People like me. And then like people are like commenting all these amazing things to me and just saying all these nice things. And I'm like, I just have imposter syndrome really bad about it, because I'm like, who am I? Like, and then like people, even like, I think the first time I visited New York to even move here, I got recognized. It was around Pride. I got recognized on the street a few times, and I'm like, who am I? Like, I don't think that I'm that big of a deal. So it's crazy that people are like, wow, who, oh my God, I met Bryce Quartz. Like, even now people still post stuff like that. And I'm like, but I'm just a baby. I just, you know, but I think it's really sweet. And I like, I'm glad that people are nice enough to even say nice things. Cause it used to not be so nice. So, but I mean, when I went viral, I'll be honest, and I'll try to keep this short too, but getting thousands of people to tell you that you're like, oh my God, drop this, like, please, this is amazing. And then I even had a lot of like TikTok famous people become my friends through that. Like, that was a crazy moment for me. And I was in a very toxic relationship for a few years, and I knew I needed to break up with him. And I'll tell you, that song made me realize, all right, I don't need you, and I don't need anyone. And I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to move to New York because I know I belong there. And that's exactly what it did. It gave me the confidence to really just like say, fuck that. Fuck this relationship. Fuck all this toxic bullshit. Like, fuck any of the haters. Like, I'm just going to do what I need to do for me. And that was the biggest thing that really pushed me and made me a better person, I think, and a better artist too. But really, that moment changed everything. That one song that I'm tired of hearing because it's I do it every show. But it's just honoring. It's very humbling for people to even, I don't know, like somebody posted the other day, like, oh my God, Bryce liked my status. And I'm like, but why not? Like, I don't know. I'm just a person. I don't know. I just think it's funny because I don't think that I'm like a big deal. And I think that people who think I'm a big deal, I think it's really cute. And like, I love you for that, but also that's like great. I would just talk to you. I'm not gonna, like, if I saw you in public, just say hello. Because that's the other thing, people at my shows, I think, like, avoid me. They think I'm very intimidating, and like, and I know that I rap very intimidating. I get that. But like, I'm just a baby, so just like, I'm shy. And so at my shows, even on the mic, when I have a mic, I'm a different person. Like, it's like, right. There's nothing to lose. Like, I'll show hole on stage. I'll suck dick on stage. I don't even care. But like, as soon as I get off stage, like, I think all of you are hot and I'm not going to approach you because I'm scared. So like, but then what if they think I'm hot? So I'm like, y'all approach me. I'm scared. Like, I don't know how to, I don't know.
This is your permission to all of the fans, just letting them know. It's okay. So what is it? So I think it's funny. I think every artist worth their salt is always going to have a little bit of that. This can't be happening. I think it helps us to keep push. What is it twofold? What is it your hope for Come Pirate and Sex Tape? And what is your ultimate hope for your overall career?
Well, the Sex Tape for me is really, like, I am very proud of this body of work. I spent a lot of money, a lot of time planning this. There's two singles out now. There's Sodomite with Big Daddy Carson. There's Come Pirate. The next single is called Daddy Dick. We're going to do another music video for that, which I'm getting fucked in just like Come Pirate. So that'll be fun. But, I, you know, my goal for the Sex Tape really was to build a foundation, in a way, of a body of work that I can perform off of and that I can carry with me throughout my career, that can let people know, like, oh shit, they, like, I don't like being compared to people. And I've gotten a lot of comparisons lately that I'm not even gonna bring up because it's annoying, but like, I made that music video so that people are like, okay, no one's ever done that, no one's ever rapped like that and gotten fucked at the same time doing it. Like, that's, I can say I've never seen that before. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Point me out to anyone else who's done that. But for me, it was really about setting the stage of what I want my career from now to go forward. And like, it's just the beginning. Like, I think the Sex Tape is also very hardcore rap. It's very like, it's very aggressive. It's very trap, like, very hard. And honestly, it's not consumable to a lot of people. So like, and I get that, like, but I just love doing it. I love that beat style. It's like some of my original influences in rap are that style of aggressiveness. I just wanted to make it gay. But the next project is honestly just way more goofy and way more lighthearted. And like, it's not a hard beat. It's the next project's more like if you walked into a mall in the 90s to go cruising and you're in the bathroom and you hear like you know, like mall music, and like you're like, you know, you're like sucking dick in this under the stall or something. Like that's kind of like the vibe of the next one, and it's just more that one's just really fun and more lighthearted. So, but then like I have a bunch of music planned. I honestly have like albums vaulted. I have like another genre of subgenre of rap that I'm doing right now called New York Drill, which like most people probably only know Ice Spice for that, which is like what drill is kind of at the moment in New York. But imagine that, but gay. But like I'm not gonna do it, like I'm not really rapping about sex on that a lot actually. So like I don't know if my fans are gonna really like it, but maybe we'll put a sex one in there or two. But I don't want to rap about sex forever, though. That's the thing. I think I am, in a way, kind of pigeonholing myself a little bit, but it's just fun to do it. And it doesn't mean I'm going to do it forever, though. Like, I don't know. We'll see who follows. Maybe I will keep doing sex rap for a long time, but the drill music is a lot harder. It's a lot different than, it's a lot harder for me to rap on it. That's why I like it. It's a challenge. It really pushes my boundaries. But I mean, I don't know. I think one of my goals in my career, I want to perform at all the bear events.
Nice.
I want to just suck some dick at a bear event and not have to like really pay for the flight or something. I don't know.
Originality for sure. I mean, having sex in your music video, I think the closest I ever came is seeing a show choir guy at the bathhouse one time, but I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I just don't think it's happened.
Listen, we ain't dead yet. Anything can happen to any of
There you
us.
go.
Exactly.
Well, Bryce Quartz, it's been absolutely amazing. We're gonna play out with a portion of it. I don't know. I think we may get banned for life, Jen, if we play the entire song. But we're gonna
Worth
tease
it.
you with it a bit and let you give you a link to the full recording over and be able to follow
Grin
Bryce.
and bury it while I give him this meat rap. I like it loud, baby, give me that feedback. I want that calm, daddy, take a seat and lean back. Stumble that dick till he give me his calm, licking it up with my tongue. I give him good brain till he going dumb, gag on it if he is hung. Give me that calm, give me that calm. I want his calm, all of his calm. Give me that
What would
calm.
you like the fans to know before we head out here? What we tease a little bit what they can look forward to. Do you have any plans to go on the road or anything? Or what's happening for you this summer in Pride and everything?
I might be in Norway. You never know. I have a lot of Norwegian fans. You might see me out there in Pride season. Might be. I'm trying to perform at Folsom. You might see that.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the low right now, just because I have a health issue I'm dealing with. So I've had to take a step back. So a lot of my things are delayed, unfortunately. But I do have a lot of porn coming out, so you might see some of that on my Twitter and stuff. You know. And then the next song is Daddy Dick, and then the sex tape's out. Yeah, I mean, I will say this, and I don't know if Carson's gonna be mad at me or not, but he's coming in October, and we're definitely gonna be doing a string of shows in October, and that'll be Carson's
Nice.
first time in the US, so I need
Wow.
everybody to show out and fuck the hell out of him, because he's dying for some American dick. So just I'm looking forward to that too. But I mean, yeah, I guess just follow me and see what's up. You know, you never know what you can expect from me. There is another porn music video coming out, so yeah, there's that.
Well, I have to say, much respect, my friend. I love that you are just living who you are. And that's what we all need to do. And just doing it without apology. And I think that's amazing. So keep creating, keep pushing the art past the boundaries that we've given it. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, by the way. This was a lot of fun.
We
It
like
was
to
a
have
pleasure
fun.
to have you.
Yeah.
You're cute as hell. You're talented as hell. And you're a lot of fun. So we appreciate you
Yeah.
coming on. And you'll have to come back, especially when Daddy comes out. There is a daddy or two here in the show. So we may be excited. I'm
Yeah.
always looking for a younger boy. You kind of bring him along with you. We're excited. I'm
I'll
excited
send
for
you
that.
the file. You can listen to the song. Let me know when you
Love
can.
it. Love it. So I guess, Scott, my friend, we have another one in the can, you know, the pun as needed there. But remember, everybody, you can catch our show every Monday. We drop a new episode. We always either have an exciting guest you're not gonna want to miss and you don't expect, like the amazing Bryce Quartz, and or you just see Scott and I just talking it up about crazy, crazy things. But please follow us, send us emails. Follow us on all of the socials. Do the same thing for our guest today as well. And I'm good. Scott, until next time.
There you go. We'll see you next time. Enjoy, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bears on my fantasy set. Bears into what I like. We do it all night, all right. Bears that don't discriminate. I take a carb, a chop, a circumnate.